Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. This next segment is brought to you by Delta Business Services and features Carrie Hannon, who is a columnist and contributing editor for the New York Times, Forbes, AARP, PBS, Next Avenue. She's very well versed out there and gets to write a lot about interesting things. Now, Carrie is going to talk about career and retirement. And she's the author of What's Next? Finding Your Passion and Your Dream Job in Your 40s, 50s, and Beyond, and Great Jobs for Everyone 50 Plus. So, which is subtitled Finding Work That Keeps You Healthy and Happy and Pays the Bills. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. I mean, it's not often we get such esteemed guests who are write so much about this topic, but it's something we talk about a lot. And before we get started, could you just fill our listeners into a little about your background?
Well, sure. My background is I started off really as a financial journalist working for Forbes magazine, and then I moved on to Money magazine and really sort of developed a whole expertise in personal finance and business. A lot of it was entrepreneurship that I wrote about for Forbes. And I had an opportunity to travel quite a bit and meet folks along the way. When I went to U.S. News and World Report after Forbes and Money magazine, I ended up writing about careers. And they gave me the opportunity to spend about 3 years, in addition to some other work, traveling around the country, meeting people who had really done one thing after 20, 30 years, made a complete career switch to something different to really follow a passion. And that's where the book What's Next came from. AARP got interested in that topic and invited me to be their jobs expert. And I started writing a column, Great Jobs for Retirees, for that audience. And out from that came Great Jobs for Everyone 50 Plus. So I've had a lot of time to kind of run around in this whole arena of jobs and working over 50 and following your passion. And it's certainly become my passion. So I'm thrilled to be here to talk about it.
It's a huge topic. And, you know, you've been quoted on NPR as saying we should retire the word retire. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, Bill, it's so true. I mean, we're all, you know, we've said it again and again, we're living longer, healthier lives. This generation, our, you know, boomer generation is meeting a time in our life that no one else really has. And so instead of retire, it's like you need to refire. I mean, it sounds, and you need to find some source of energy to kind of propel you forward, or what do you want to do in this next chapter? And it may be work for pay, it may be doing something completely different than you did before, it could be, you know, really finding work and social purpose and finding meaning. I think a lot of people at this stage in life say, you know, what's it all about? And that, I encounter that a lot with the folks in the What's Next book who had come up against a health scare or something, but or they lost someone they loved and they really felt like, hey, you know, is this what it's all about? So I think retirement today is, you know, two things. I think people need to keep working in many ways because they are living longer for the financial piece of it. And then secondly, they're having longer lives and they want to find meaning in their lives and leave a legacy.
I totally agree. You know, I think I've always used the word rewire.
Oh, I like that one, yeah.
And you know, one of the things that we're concerned about is people are getting to a point where they do want to rewire. They want to unplug from what they've been doing and rewire. And part of the problem is, well, what do I do? And, of course, there's a lot of opportunities out there now that didn't exist several years ago. You would know. You've been covering careers for so long. Talk about the emerging trend of things there are to do now that didn't exist a few years ago because of technology.
Oh, I think it's so true. And I mean, you really have to pay attention to how things are changing. And particularly, people shouldn't get so hung up on the fact that, you know, if they want to change to a new industry or do new things, that they don't already have some of the core skills. It's more like you're not necessarily reinventing yourself. You're kind of redirecting yourself. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. But some of the jobs that I see out there are related to, I call them jobs to ride the age wave, and I write about these in the Great Jobs book. And these are jobs that maybe didn't even exist a number of years ago, but it's jobs that people in their 50s and 60s can do that cater to or service folks in their 70s and their 80s. And there are a wide range of these sorts of things. But if you think of healthcare as a growing field, then you've got the patient advocate, or you've got the senior fitness instructor. If you, you know, someone who is specializing in that area of helping seniors stay fit, or massage therapist, even someone who can help with a home modification pro. If you're into construction or you understand architecture, interior design. You can go in and help people figure out how they can age in place, which so many people want to do today for a variety of reasons. So I think there's a smorgasbord of jobs opening up in those categories that we might not have thought about as strictly a move that into a growing field, but in fact they are.
I love that term age in place because it connotates that you don't have to give up what you've been doing all of your life and go turn it in for a blue vest with a name tag. You can actually stay in place and use your knowledge in things like what we're doing with podcasting and writing and, you know, things like that, and getting that information back out. So let's start with a definition. I hear this a lot. What is an encore career, and why do you think there's so much interest in this topic now?
Well, it really is big, and I define encore career as a career that really is giving a moving into an area of social purpose and social meaning. And that's kind of coined by the group at Encore.org, which your listeners may be aware of. It's a terrific organization based out of San Francisco, but they're around the country. And Mark Friedman, who founded it, has done a tremendous job really making a social movement almost of people who are going on to really make a difference in this world with this extra years that they have to do things. It's like you really have an opportunity to have a purpose. So I think of those as encore careers in nonprofits and so forth, where if you're making a switch, you might not be making as much money as you did in your previous career, and so you need to prepare for that. Or you might be, you know, even volunteering part of the time or what have you, but it's really taking an interest in moving the ball forward and changing our world. So that's what I think of as really an encore career. And I do see a huge resurgence interest in this, Bill, because I think when we reach midlife, we often do, as I was saying earlier, say, well, what's this all about? You know, I've sort of been climbing this ladder, and there's got to be more meaning to this world. And maybe instead of leaving a legacy, which means in terms of leaving money behind, you live a legacy. You actually show by example of what can be done.
Yeah, a lot of people would call that a midlife crisis, but I call it a midlife awakening because it really is.
It.
You know, it's not, it's about waking up and saying, okay, I've had to do things that I didn't necessarily want to do, and I lost a little bit of myself along the way. Now it's time to refine that and redefine what I call success. And now you have, of course, a few different camps out there. You have people that are forced to work for money because the economy and their own habits maybe have not been kind to them along the way, so they need money, right?
Yeah, well, I think absolutely. That is no denying that it's a huge piece of the puzzle because so many folks have not saved enough for retirement and certainly not enough to live another, you know, if you're 60, you could easily have another 20, 30 plus years. So this is really and we don't have the traditional pensions that we once have had. And there are all kinds of things that require that you need to keep working to bring. And if you keep working, the good piece of it is, even if it's not full-blown like you were before, you're staving off having to dip into those retirement accounts.
Right.
And you're able to keep adding to those retirement accounts and hopefully push back your the date you start taking Social Security. All really positive financial moves that continuing to work in some fashion, whether it's, and I'm talking if you're over, you know, of a certain age, you know, working for seasonal work or contract work, consulting jobs, and those sorts of things where, you know, you don't have to say, hey, I'm going to set the world on fire. But, yeah, I need to keep bringing some money in.
Yeah, and part of it is just understanding what's out there, like you talked about. So groups like Encore.org, and I'm sure you know of other resources. But what are the key steps to planning an Encore career? What would you tell our listeners? You offer a fitness program approach. What's that all about?
I love Carrie's fitness program. It's a little, you know, well, maybe a little contrarian. Some people who might not say it, but Bill, when I'm out talking to groups of workers, primarily, you know, people primarily over 50 who are looking for work, there's this palpable fear about outliving their income, and this is true. And a lot of people will come up to me and say, "Is you know, why am I not getting these callbacks?" And, you know, ageism is alive and well in the workplace. No matter what anyone says, there's definitely ageism. And so folks, people will say, "Well, should I use Botox or dye my hair?" And I'm like, yeah, if you want to do those things and it's going to make you feel confident, by all means. But frankly, get fit. If you're physically fit, and you don't have to run a fast mile or bench press a lot, but if you have a certain fitness to you, you give off this positive vibe, this sense of possibility and energy that you're up for the job. And I think that's a real concern of employers looking at what I'll say, and I don't like the word, but an older worker, that they're not really up for it, that they don't have the stamina. By coming in with a really energetic presence, you know, they may not even know what they're looking at, but they're going to say, hey, you know, I want what she has or he has. So I think physical fitness is really critical to continuing to work over 50 and to continue to be engaged and also get hired. A second piece, I call it my, you know, being financially fit, is the best you can do to kind of get your finances in control, pay down debt, get out of credit card debt in particular. But maybe it's a time you can downsize if the kids are about, you know, moved out of the house, what have you. You can find some of the big expenses are maybe behind you, your mortgage and things like that. But particularly if you can downsize, simplify your life, do a budget, find a way to trim, because if you're going to make a change in your career or your industry, what have you, you may very well take a pay cut, at least initially. And if you start your own business, for sure you're going to need savings for that, and you may not pay yourself for a year or so. So I tell people to really buckle down and be financially fit in addition to physically fit. And then I think being spiritually fit is important, and it's not all woo-woo religion. I mean, simply you need a place of quiet that you can go to kind of get away from the stress, because it is very stressful out there trying to find work and staying engaged and finding what you want to do. So if you have some practice, yoga or meditation, or, you know, for me, it's just walking my dog, but somewhere you can go that you can just quiet down.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Now, that there's another faction out there that we are talking to a lot on our show, and that is the age 50 plus business owner who owns a business right now, but they want to sell that business because they might have another passion. Sometimes they don't, and that is a stumbling block because they don't have that passion. And how do people figure out what maybe, where do they go to find that new purpose, that new passion that's going to propel them into this next phase of their life?
You know, it's really interesting, because for everyone, it's a different exploration. You might want to find, there's a whole new breed of coaches out there, retirement coaches, who can really help you take a look at your life. And a group called the Life Planning Network does a lot of work there with folks who help you kind of get a sense. And a lot of it starts with a self-assessment. You know, what do you value? What are the things you love to do as a kid? I find, truthfully, a lot of the people who have gone on to next acts are people who have gotten back to something they really loved when they were a kid. And one of my favorite stories is a guy who was with the Navy and was a career Navy captain and so forth. And when he retired from the Navy, Don Covington absolutely always loved the circus from the time he was a little kid. He remembers going with his dad in Baltimore. Don got, everywhere he was stationed with the Navy, he would go to the circus, he would get circus publications or what have you. When he retired, he probably could have gone to work for a Defense Department or even at that time flown a commercial aircraft. But you know what? Don ran away with the circus. He found a job with the Big Apple Circus, and it's a nonprofit, so he was doing the do-gooder thing too. But he became the company manager, and his wife, who had been a nurse, became the wardrobe director on the circus. So he was moving a troupe up and down the East Coast of, say, 150 people. And Don said, "Carrie, you know, seriously, you know, the circus and the military aren't that different."
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, you know, but I knew what he meant. It was, he was using the same leadership skills, management skills that he had really honed in his Navy career. So I try to tell people, you know, think back of things you loved as a kid. You just may know, you know, something may just pop up for you.
I love that. And I think that's so true. A lot of people are just looking to do something that doesn't feel like work, that feels like they're fulfilling a passion that they've always had, and it's time for that. And a lot of times those can turn into wonderful encore types of careers and businesses. So that's great input. I appreciate that, because a lot of people, we find that if they had a purpose. And I've talked to groups that have a purpose. There's some Christian business leader groups, for instance, and they have a greater purpose. They want to do something different. And so they're eager to get out and get unstuck from their businesses and on to that new purpose. Other people that don't have that purpose don't have that feeling that it's like, well, what am I going to do if I don't go to the office? And that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, you go into mourning for your old identity and your old career, and it really is a psychological wrench. I mean, it's, okay, what who am I now that I'm not identified? But the other big pieces, Bill, that we see are people, you know, they lose that community, that social interaction. And so it's not just the mental engagement and the in sort of your ego in a way of who you are, your self-identity, but you miss out on those human relationships. And you know, any way you can find it, I tell folks who are out there sending out resumes or they're trying to find work, whatever it is, you know, to just don't sit at home, get out and do something. Go and volunteer if you can moonlight somewhere. But if you can find, even if it's a nonprofit that you have an interest in, volunteering there, you may find a full-time job percolates up from there, or at the very least, you're networking and you're meeting people, and you might just hear about something that triggers an interest for you. So don't just, or take a class, go back to school. I mean, learning always stimulates us, mm-hmm. and you never know who you're going to meet also, or things that may, you know, come across your screen that you hadn't thought about.
Do you think organizations like SCORE that are out there with 12,000 plus volunteers that help businesses, things like that are going to rise in popularity in an amazing
I think that there's a real demand for groups like SCORE, and SCORE does a very good job of helping, reaching out to entrepreneurs and with help with business plans and so forth. And people can look within their community for, you know, other things similar. Often universities or colleges offer that kind of help as well. And there's a terrific nonprofit that called Senior entrepreneurshipworks.org that has a really it's a wonderful website to go to and kind of helps you work through the process of, am I suited to be an entrepreneur? Is this something? And they have a tie-in with Baruch College in New York. And I think that your listeners might find that an interesting site just to kind of get some ideas, because even if you don't want to start your own business, you might partner up with somebody. And I love this idea, legacy businesses, with someone younger. Because the younger population is having trouble finding jobs, too, in their 20s and 30s. Maybe you hook up with a relative or someone else that, you know, they bring, and you can meet them in some of these incubators if you can reach out to some of these networking groups. And make a connection there where you bring the expertise to a certain degree, the network, maybe a little capital, and they can bring the energy, the enthusiasm, the technology that you might be a step behind on.
Well, you wrote about that in the New York Times, so I that's did, searchable yeah. on Google if somebody wants to look you up and find out about that trend of legacy businesses. It's very interesting. Now, Carrie, what would you say to someone who tells you they're too old to try something new, too old to return to school, never going to make it in a young person's world? What do you tell them?
You know, you just want to say, come on, you know, buck
Snap
up
out
here
of it.
because you got to buck up, because, you know, you have to look at the possibilities. You absolutely need an open mind about what is possible out there, and regardless of your age. So it might not be that you're going into a full track of a career, but there's all sorts of way to stay engaged and say, and I must say, learning is one of the best things to do. If you can just take a course, you know, get out, you're meeting people, you're learning something, and sort of your brain changes, your mood shifts. And I think today also there's these wonderful, if you have the wherewithal to travel, you know, learning vacations are available to you as well. But you need to keep it, you know, excuse the slang, but sort of the noodle going, you know. You got to keep the brain working. And I think you can get more upbeat and start to say, hey, you know, I think I can do this.
Okay, what's the one piece of advice you'd like to leave our audience with today?
You know, I just really, you know, think that it's really important to take the time to find what really matters to you and what you're passionate about, because it sounds corny, it sounds like what you hear from everyone, but it's true. If you can get down to what's something that you really believe in and you value, I think you'll find work to do that's going to move you to the next level in this next chapter of life, and you'll find your way. But you've got to reach out to other people. You have to ask for help. You have to network.
I love the work that you've done. You're lighting a beacon for a lot of people. Carrie's books are What's Next? Finding Your Passion and Your Dream Job in Your 40s, 50s, and Beyond, and Great Jobs for Everyone 50 Plus, Finding Work That Keeps You Happy and Healthy and Pays the Bills. You can find him on Amazon or at her website or on our website at exitcoachradio.com. And Carrie, your website is carriehannon.com, correct?
Yes, it is. KerryHannon.com.
You beat me to it. Thank you very much. And if someone wanted to talk to you about some of these issues, is there a good way to get in touch with you, or is the website the best?
Well, absolutely. You can email me. It's Kerry@KerryHannon.com, and it should, the address is on my website under the contact area.
We didn't have enough time today. There's a lot more I want to talk to you about, so I hope we'll have a reprise and be able to talk to you again very soon. But thanks very much for joining us, Carrie.
Thank you, Bill. Let's do it again.
All right. I've been talking with Carrie Hannon, columnist and contributing editor, and be sure and check out her website at KerryHannon.com and look into her books. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.